following program is brought to you by Susty Party, an online party supply store for eco-friendly party products and biodegradable compostable tableware. For more information, visit sustyparty.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Yeah, welcome. You're listening to Straight from the Source, streaming to you on the Heritage Radio Network, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, this and every Wednesday afternoon. My name's Clay Gordon, and in the nearly 20 years that I've been following the chocolate industry, literally from tree to mouth, I visited cacao farms throughout the Americas, spent time with farmers, merchants, and some of the world's best chocolate makers. Growing cacao is very hard work, and it's hard not to notice that farmers don't get paid fairly for the work they do most of the time. Straight from the Source is inspired by those experiences with the mission of exploring issues in fair and ethical sourcing in cacao, chocolate, coffee, and other foods with participants in every link of the supply chain, from growers to producers to chefs, certification bodies, and organizations interested in promoting the concept of good food. My guests today are Sean McCain, the sales director of the Bronx Brewery here in New York City.
Hey, Sean.
And also Patrick Martins, who's the founder of Heritage Foods USA and a member of the board of Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for having me.
And listen, thanks both for agreeing to come out on a day. I think it's going to start pouring in New York City after a week of just fabulous fall weather. It's time to get a little bit of rain. And we're going to bring a little sunshine into the day, because today the topic is pairing chocolate and beer, one of my favorite combinations. And what I'm going to be doing today is, with Patrick's help and also with Sean's help, is I'm going to be demonstrating a technique that anyone can use to help develop their palates for chocolate.
Anybody
over the age of 18 who is legally, well, anybody.
Oh, 21.
Or 21, that's right.
Well, I thought chocolate was 18, alcohol 21.
It could be.
Chocolate's any age.
Chocolate is, that's true. Anyway, anybody who is predisposed to doing these things.
We have not started drinking
right,
yet, by the way.
They can use this technique to help develop their palates for chocolate and beer. And actually, you can apply it to a lot of other types of pairings as well. It's pretty cool. Sean, yeah. You have got something really, really special for us today, and I am totally psyched to try this. So why don't you tell us what you got while you're opening it and pouring it around and
Perfect.
Telling us a little bit about the Bronx Brewery.
Well, I'm really, really, this is a big day for the Bronx Brewery, and it's the first time this beer is ever going to be opened anywhere, after we packaged it. This was the first bottle that we did on the runoff of the bottling. It was sort of the test one. So we put it aside, and I said, you know what? I think I'm doing a radio program next week. I think that's where we're going to crack
cool.
it.
So what do we have here?
It is a Zin Age Bronx Pale Ale. Hmm. We take our base Bronx Pale Ale, which is a 6.3% American Pale Ale, with a lot of West Coast hops, Cascade and Centennial hops. Okay. And then we sort of take it away from being in an IPA or something too bitter by using English malts, nice, okay. subtle malts that are going to give it a little bit softer flavor. And then we paired up with this with our friends at the Brooklyn Winery, and they gave us
a
French oak cask that once contained Zinfandel. And we decided, hey, let's age this beer for 6 months. There was wild Belgian yeast and Brettanomyces sitting in that cask, right. and so you'll be able to taste that, especially on the finish. It should be a nice dry finish. And without that, I'm opening this sucker.
I love Pale. That's my favorite variety of beer. Right. Every day, Sierra Nevada, you know, the big one, but
yeah, and the pale ale is what the Bronx Brewery is known for. Is that right?
We really have two beers, I'm going to do this one a little runoff because, like I said, this is the first one. So the color on this beer is going to be very cloudy, but the flavor sensation.
Has anyone? We are the true guinea pigs.
You truly are.
Your machinery has been vetted though before right. this. No. Yeah. It's not going to get a lockjaw here.
Well, I've been drinking it myself, so
okay. so
I'm alive.
I'm glad.
Barely, but I am.
Right. So the technique that we're going to bring today is called 3-in-1 and 1-in-3, and the idea here is we're going to take this one beer And then we're going to take three separate chocolates, and we're going to taste the beer with the three different chocolates. In any kind of pairing exercise, the first step is to get an aroma memory and a taste memory. So you want to put your nose into the beer, right? Try to identify. You know, it's nice to know we have a little comic in the audience.
It's like wine. Student.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're gonna get the beer characteristics, but you're gonna bring to the beer characteristics not only the fermentation flavor from the grapes that's in the wood, but you're gonna be able to get the it's a charred oak cask probably, right?
It's a French oak cask. I'm not sure if it's charred.
Okay,
so, it smells like a Lambrusco wood,
right? But you're gonna get those flavors of vanilla and wood from the oak, and it adds a really interesting layer of complexity on top of
the
general.
You get a little bit of the tannins almost in the nose, and when you first taste it, it hits sort of the side of your tongue, wakens up your cheeks a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very, very interesting. And you said it's not overly sweet. It's soft, but very, very nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's got this really interesting toasty.
That's the malt,
brown
that's
bread.
The malt
brown bread,
to come out and then the Brett at the finish makes it very nice and dry. It almost like sucks away everything from the palate and allows it to sort of sustain. I love it. This is good stuff.
And then the top nose of the extra alcohol from the wine as it comes through, and it's sort of got a wine like finish on it, not a beer like finish to it because of the alcohol in it.
Well, it's pretty exceptional.
Very good.
No, it's phenomenal.
It tastes, I mean, like you feel like you could be drinking a glass of wine. I mean, it tastes like a Belgian style beer that crosses the line between both.
That's exactly it. That's it. And if people would like to taste it themselves, it'll be hitting the market October 1st.
Oh, wow.
At select
this coming Monday.
This coming Monday. And we're kicking off, Bronx Brewery Turns 1 on Sunday. And we're going to go to the Blind Tiger with our friends there and hopefully all of our friends listening here at from 3 to 6. And we're going to start drinking this stuff all day long. So come by. We'll give you some samples.
You could actually drink out the entire world supply in an afternoon. I thought you said there was something like 20 cases and that's
300
it.
Bottles. 300 bottles, hand-packaged, hand-labeled, hand-waxed.
Well, I feel especially well cared for this afternoon.
Yes.
So the 1-3, 3-in-1 combination starts off. We have one beer. We're going to have three different chocolates. And my criteria for selecting the chocolates when I do these kinds of tastings are to try to get things that are related to each other. So these are all 70%. That's the connection between them. They're all pretty inexpensive, and they all are just generally available. So this makes it easy for people to do this at home. They're not looking for some specialty chocolate purveyor or have to buy it online and spend a whole bunch of money. So we're going to start off with a chocolate that everybody knows, which is Lindt 70%.
I was going to say Lindt. I was like, easy to find. It's got to be Lindt.
Right.
Here you go, Sean.
No, thank you.
You got one as well.
Okay.
So the Lindt Excellent 70%. And in general, the way you're going to pursue the chocolate tasting is you want to smell the chocolate, and you're not looking to identify deeply, you know, any specific flavor, but just get an overall flavor characteristic for it. Okay, so what does this remind you of from an aroma perspective? Is it sweet? Is it smell roasted? Does it smell like there's a lot of vanilla?
Very sweet to me.
Yeah, it's
it smells roasted,
right? But you sometimes you'll get an earthy, a woody aroma to things. So you just want to, or it's burnt. Sometimes you'll get lots of different flavors. You just want to go. Okay, the second chocolate we have today is from Green and Blacks. And Green and Blacks, this is also a 70% cocoa. And the Green and Blacks as a company is going to be a subject of a future event I'm going to, or a future episode that I'm going to be doing. And so with the Lindt on our nose, the next thing we want to do is put the Green and Blacks on our nose, right? And again, you're looking at a little bit of the difference. People are really good at being able to, when they're starting out, at being able to compare and contrast, not necessarily pull things out in isolation. And so to my nose today, the Green and Blacks, even though it's 70%, just smells a little bit sweeter. I mean, would you?
This one?
Yeah, second one I gave
second
you.
Second one.
I get the exact opposite.
Yeah, milky or more open, less harsh.
Okay.
Warmer.
For some reason, I get that it's more, I feel it's only 7%. It feels like it's going to be a lot more bitter just from the smell.
And that's also a very good point to bring up, is that every single one of us has our own sense of taste. Every single one of us has our own sense of smell. So there are no right answers. And so this is really an exercise, part of an exercise in helping you understand what you like. and then why you go about liking it. And the third chocolate we have is from the Endangered Species Chocolate Company, also 70%.
We'll be finishing this world supply as well.
Yeah, that's right. This is right. Endangered chocolate. No, it's not endangered chocolate.
Here you go.
Also 70%. And all right. And again, what you want to do is you want to put it on your nose and say, okay.
Tar.
Yeah, there is an underlying, you know, really interesting. You know, there's almost no aroma to it compared with the first two.
Correct.
Right.
I'm glad you said that. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, wow.
Yeah, wow. You know, and you know, who knows why that is? I mean, they've all been sitting at the same temperature for the last couple of hours. There's no difference there. Right. And
well, the smell goes in order. The first one smelled the most and this one smells the least.
And completely accidental.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's not, I mean, I've not used this particular set of chocolates in this order ever before to do this particular exercise. It's always fun for me. And so you want to take the lint, right? And you want to just take a chunk of it, put it in your mouth, chew a couple of times. Right? And after you chew, let the chocolate gather it on top of your tongue and let it melt. And there are napkins in the center of the table, if you want, Patrick.
Nice. All right. This is a professional operation.
Yeah. We aim to please. And so it starts off with this, even though there's no milk in it, there's this caramelly note you know, to start with. And it's a pleasant chocolate. It doesn't have any outstanding sort of characteristics that say, ooh, it jumps out in your mouth and says, you know, seems you don't pay
very,
attention to
seems
me.
Seems very familiar to me. Like
yeah.
When I want to taste like a mm-hmm. good chocolate, this is what I would expect.
And that's one of the reasons why I use it. I mean, this and a Hershey Kiss,
mm-hmm.
right? Because everybody has the experience of eating these chocolates. They're good baseline chocolates to start from. Ooh, let's establish it. But now that I sort of have that chocolate sort of in my brain, right in my mouth, mm-hmm. let's take the chocolate again. Right? And when you're working with a beer that's cold, what you don't want is you don't want for the coldness of the beer to set the fat in the chocolate.
Okay.
So we want to get the chocolate really, really melty. Mouth very, very liquid. And then pour.
Mm. Almost like provides a shoot for the beer. It's like you almost don't taste the beer. It's like
the
coated.
Sweetness is completely gone from the
yeah.
beer, right?
Yeah.
Right. What we tasted before.
Right. So and this is what we're doing is we're then gonna go to the next chocolate and we're gonna say, how does the beer change the taste of the chocolate? How does the chocolate change the taste of the beer? And so in one of the things that I've noticed in doing this, it's particularly the case that the perceived amount of sugar, how sweet the chocolate is what's going to change your perception of what the beer is all about. All right, so we went from the lint. The next one is to go to the green and blacks, right?
The little rectangles?
Yep.
And less, less flavor.
Far less flavor. This one, right? But there's some fruity acidity which comes at the very end.
Finish, you're right.
Yes,
absolutely.
It starts off, you're going, eh.
I thought like waxy, what's going on? And then there's this nice release.
As it melts.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the metaphors I use to talk about chocolate, it comes from electronic music, attack, decay, sustain, release. So how does it come into your mouth really quickly or slowly? And then how does it play out in your mouth over time? And so you've got a chocolate here, this the green and black 70%, which starts off very quietly. There's not a whole lot going to it. And then all of a sudden there's this, you know, this explosion,
yeah.
a bright fruitiness and a little going. So let's take another piece of the chocolate and put it in our mouths. Get it nice and melty. And it doesn't have quite as smooth a melt as the lint does. But that could be because it's a really thick piece compared with the lint, which is a thinner piece.
I mean, there's a little more taste of the beer, a little bit more of the mm-hmm. beer taste survives because it's less sweet, I guess. So.
Yeah, I'm getting way more chocolate too. Maybe I have too much chocolate in my mouth. Let me drink some more beer here.
Is it possible to have too much chocolate in your mouth at one
Never.
Time? But it's also very.
I like that combination.
Mm.
But it's very, very different from the first one.
The dryness yes. of the finish of the beer is still here, whereas in the first beer, you kind of got lost.
It got lost, yeah.
And now you're getting sort of that the Brett flavor right. of the dryness is coming back.
Right. But one of the things which is also interesting is that sort of winey alcohol finish on the beer is gone with this one. But it would be interesting to know is that, or to ask, is did you notice any difference on the aroma, right, as you were putting the beer to your nose from one chocolate to the next? Because that's another thing, is that if you got the chocolate in your mouth and you're breathing in, you'll get the mixture of the aromas, and they'll actually smell and taste very, very different. And then we have one more chocolate to try with. I have enough here to do this pairing.
All right.
And this is the endangered species. Now, we don't know anything about the origin of this. We just know that it's 70%. These are all just your generic 70%.
Waiting for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it comes. A little raisin.
The end. Mm-hmm. A little dark fruit, yeah.
A little dried fruit at the end. Sort of raisins. Mm-hmm. Not cherries.
I get maybe a little like a dark dry Bing cherry or something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. dark Bing.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of astringency under the tongue.
Uh-huh. Yep. Nutty, yeah.
And it doesn't have that bright fruity explosion, but it actually has this interesting sort of complexity that reveals itself over time. But mm-hmm. it's all sort of, mm-hmm. you know, sort of at the same level. We have
marshmallow.
Not much flavor. Yeah. Right, sort of cooked sugar.
But it's extending.
Yes, it is. It's going forever.
Now I'm still getting that. Maybe
that's why I say marshmallow, because that lasts also for a few minutes.
Yeah. Right. Huh.
And so let's take that same chocolate, right? Get it in the mouth, get it nice and melty.
Coffee, yeah. I mean, it's still in my nose.
Really interesting. And it starts off. There's not much of anything.
But that takes away the sweetness of the beer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right from the beginning. I don't really taste the beer.
Yeah. It's been an element of all three chocolates have taken the beer away a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still getting that one thing at the end, the nutty marshmallow or...
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like a smoke almost. It's quite interesting.
It is quite interesting. And then the whole... Before we go to break, I mean the real lesson here is that there's a difference between eating and drinking and tasting. And tasting is really all about paying attention and trying to identify sense memories.
And how much fun would this be for a family with their two kids or three kids at the table, and they each go through this and mm-hmm. find taste descriptor words for each one?
No.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
I didn't
think about that since I don't have kids around my table.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say since I don't have a table. That's good.
No, but it is a fabulous just joint experience. Mm-hmm. People can get together. You don't need to have a whole lot of experience because it's really all about comparing and contrasting mm-hmm. rather than trying to go, ooh, I smell mushrooms, I smell Matsutake mushrooms, and everybody's trying to outguess each other as to how good their flavor sensibility is.
But let me ask, if this had been just a really bad chocolate, I mean, you say there's no right or wrong, mm-hmm. but there are good chocolates and bad chocolates.
There are certainly good chocolates and bad chocolates, and there, no matter how bad the chocolate is, you will almost always find somebody who likes it. And mm-hmm. a lot of it has to do with culturally where you grew up. I mean, as Americans, we tend to like very cold, very light lager and pilsner style beers, right?
We're changing that, by the way.
And that's certainly very true. And certainly some of the things we hope to do here with Heritage Foods in some respects and what it is the radio network is all about in bringing these disciplines and these ideas together. But if you grew up in England, you're used to a very different style beer and the differences between Cadbury chocolate made in the UK and Cadbury chocolate made by Hershey's in the US. But if you grew up in India, for example, the worst chocolate I ever ate in my entire life came from India.
What did it taste like? Oh, cacao?
No. I don't even want to go into it. But that's very funny.
yeah, yes. You get a beer guy in here, there's going to be jokes.
That's very true. Anyway, we are going to take a short break. From pairing beer and chocolate with Sean McCain of Bronx Brewery and Patrick Martins of Heritage Foods USA. And when we return to Straight from the Source on Heritage Radio Network or heritageradionetwork.org, we'll be doing more of the same, only different. So don't go away.
See? crevice, no hole can conceal you like you planned. But you can paint your face here any color you'd like, 'cause there's a divide between this world.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Emily Dubois.
And I'm Jessica Holsey.
We are the entrepreneurs behind Susty Party. Susty Party creates responsibly made, eco-friendly party supplies and compostable tableware. Parties and events generate the second largest amount of waste in the USA, just behind the construction industry. Susty Party products make parties more sustainable and sustainability a little more fun.
Susty Party plates, bowls, and straws are available in Whole Foods retail stores and also at sustyparty.com. We offer a curated selection of other Susty-approved party supplies. We also have a commercial division, Sustyware, that sells compostable tableware in bulk to businesses and food service industry establishments.
Susty Party is a certified youth trade company and B Corporation. Our social, economic, environmental, and even spiritual values drive Susty Party to live our motto, respect Earth and party on.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Clay Gordon, creator and moderator of thechocolatelife.com and author of the IACP finalist book, Discover Chocolate. Today, I'm pairing chocolate and beer with Sean McCain of Bronx Brewery and Patrick Martins of Heritage Foods USA and Heritage Radio Network. So we did one beer and three chocolates before the break.
Very interesting.
Coming back, and what's really interesting is that last chocolate, that endangered species.
Can't get it out of my mouth.
It's there.
I wanted to leave.
Yeah, and
I'm done with you.
Right, and one of the great palate cleansers, people talk about using sparkling water, but it turns out that a soupy polenta is a really good palate cleanser. This is something I learned from working at the International Chocolate Awards as a judge two weeks ago.
Soupy polenta, because you know I have that always with me in my back of my car.
So. Well, you would probably actually bake it on the engine as you drive down the road.
Not too much. I want to keep it soupy.
You want to keep it soupy, of course. All right, so we're going to do three beers here.
By the way, which one got the vote for the first three? I voted two. For the combination between milk, between the chocolate and the beer.
Right. I'd go number one.
You go number one.
I like the lint. I think it seemed to work for my palate the best.
Beer and chocolate together, okay.
Well, the thing that I would point out, which is interesting about this, is that everybody will have their own ideas.
So what's yours? Is it one or two?
None of them. I characterize things as, did the chocolate make the beer taste better? Did the beer make the chocolate taste better? Were neither of them improved by that, or was the combination greater than the sum of the parts? And I don't think any three of them were, the combination was greater than the sum of the parts. I think some were okay. And, you know, the although I liked the on and on nature of the endangered species chocolate and the nice subtle flavors that, you know, changed over time, it not being able to get it out of my mouth is just a real challenge.
Soupy polenta?
Where is that soupy polenta when you need it? So, Sean, you brought three more beers.
I did. Now, the next one we're going to taste is one of my favorites. It's a Russian Imperial Stout from North Coast Brewery. They're based out of Fort Bragg, California, northern California. It is a Russian Imperial Stout, 9% alcohol by volume.
Man. And so what makes a Russian Imperial Stout different from any other kind of stout?
Well, an Imperial Stout, Russian Imperial Stout, the Czars, they love themselves some stouts. And in order to actually get the beer to travel to Russia, lots of the neighboring dignitaries and breweries would have to send it over long periods, large miles.
Tracks of
long distance,
thank you. So this one is basically an English beer.
Okay.
In its creation, and then that way it could go to the Tsar.
Okay.
Hence the Russian Imperial.
So this could stand long journeys because it's high in alcohol.
High in alcohol. It's also very dark, so if we don't have to worry about light or anything that infecting it.
Got it. And the chocolate, the single chocolate we're going to be tasting with the three beers, which are very different, which I'm very glad, is the Scharfenberger 70%. Right? Scharfenberger. So, and Scharfenberger can lay claim to being actually one of the drivers of the craft chocolate movement in the United States.
They started Berkeley, California, right?
Berkeley, California in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s.
John Scharfenberger.
John Scharfenberger and his partner Bob Steinberg, that's correct.
Who passed away,
Robert
sadly.
Robert Steinberger, yep. And now they're owned by a division of Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
And the chocolate, unfortunately, is not the same. Mm-hmm. But similar kind of thing. We got the aroma. We can take the aroma of the chocolate. And now what we're doing is we're got aroma of chocolate, right? You know, stick it in your nose, right? Stick it in the beer. I mean, they're this sort of burnt, roasty, you know, almost yellow number two pencil kind of flavor this week, right? You know that flavor of biting on the nose? There's a little
not
bit of that
years,
in this chocolate.
But you're just bringing it back to me.
Yeah, it's
there's still lead from those days pumping through my body to this day.
What? Chew the chocolate. And it's got some of the flavors of that endangered species. So it's this warm coffee. It's a little sweeter, yeah. Right. But it has the same sort of evolution, actually without the complexity, not as many layers. And then it ends on a sort of bright fruity. Mm-hmm. There's a little tiny bright fruit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we put the chocolate in the mouth with a stout.
It is a stout.
Right, and
very malty, very almost there's espresso notes that you get from the beer and a little bit of chocolate notes, mm-hmm. and those are really enhanced with this.
Right,
when you combine it with the chocolate,
the chocolate's not overly sweet, although there's a little bit of sweetness of it. That sweetness is bringing out some of the darker flavors in the beer, which is what I would expect.
I think it makes it easier to drink. It almost makes it lighter. I mean, that's the effect of all these chocolates. I mean, if you wanted to get drunk really fast, you would just eat a bunch of chocolate, and then you wouldn't even notice your it goes down
right.
Very smoothly.
And then
don't
the
tell
sugar.
Me that. That's not my problem. It's drinking too much.
But this is a classic chocolate combination with beer. Chocolate and stout.
That's why I brought it.
And now you can see why it is you've got the complementary characteristics. But however, if I went back and tried the chocolate, the green and blacks, which just has this bright fruity note at the end, my guess is that it would taste really, really nice to begin with. Then all of a sudden that fruit would come out in the chocolate and we'd go, ugh. You know, that would be a really, really weird combination.
Do we want to taste any more here?
Let's go to the pumpkin. Can we go to the pumpkin? So this, you've got a seasonal beer here?
Got Southern Tears Imperial Pumpkin. Figure, you know.
This also shipped off to the Czars?
This is just shipped to, I guess if you want to call yourself a czar. It's
chocolate
off czar,
that's right.
There you go, the chocolate czar. So this is from Southern Tier Brewery.
Where are they?
They're a New York brewery in the Southern Tier. Right. I think it's like near Ellicottville.
Over Pennsylvania there?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Is it Ellicottville?
Oh, man. This is weird. I mean, I really do like Lakewood. Pumpkin beers. I do like pumpkin beers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. Like right.
Cereal, breakfast cereal.
Imagine pairing this with a pumpkin pie.
Oh my God.
And it's like pumpkin overload, but it actually balances it out.
I could bathe in this. This is sweeter, like shampoo kind of. It's
oh, wow.
Well, it's 8.6% as well, mm-hmm. so it's going to have a lot of heat. You're going to get some. I haven't even tasted it yet. Right. But just
candy corn, all that.
But what's also really lovely about this.
Well, the nose, you're right. You got to get a little candy
texture,
corn.
Texture, a little butter in it, too.
Butter, very, it's very like popcorn at a movie theater.
What is the beer term for the butter note? I don't remember. All right, Chris and Mary will remind me the next time I talk. Next time I talk to you, right?
Man, this is
this is like candy,
right? No, it's really quite fabulous. And the nice thing about it is that the texture is very, very close to a really silky pie feeling. As when you think about it,
that's true. The mouthfeel is like as you're pouring it into before you bake it.
Oh wow!
Take that.
If you were to blind smell this to 100 people, I think 2 would get that it's a beer, and 98 would think it's some
liqueur,
candy, or something. Yeah.
It's really quite remarkable. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the chocolate.
All right, chocolate.
Trumps.
Let's see how you handle the pumpkin.
Chocolate and pumpkin pie.
That's fascinating.
Now that's a marriage. That works pretty well. Out of all the beers that we've tasted.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that I want to go back to more and more.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And this is an example of what I'm saying. What I mentioned is that sometimes you get the chocolate and the beer together,
mm-hmm.
and the two of them together are better than either of them by themselves, even when they're really good by themselves. putting the two together just like raises them to another level.
But this beer in and of itself, you could hang a tree off of your, you know, rear view mirror in your car and be happy. I mean, this is like, it's almost
like nutmeg in it as well. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, all of the traditional pumpkin pie spices you get in there.
Then they put that in the beer, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. That's addictive.
Wow.
And this is the great thing about this beer, and this is a time when there's lots of pumpkin beers out. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something within a large format such as this is that you can share with friends and share with chocolate or other foods as well. Because it's one of those wonderful characteristics that makes you think of fall and pairs so well with so many different things. No, and you can get them all at most of your good bottle shops.
Did you say pie crust? Well, that is very good. That's
There is some of the flavor in here is actually comes from the cooked flour buttery, both the buttery note of it as well. And one of the things I like to do when I make pies is I like to brush chocolate on the pie crust before I put the filling in. Hmm. It helps the pie crust stay firm and crisp, but you also get a little bit of the chocolate flavor. Oh yeah, no, absolutely. We got one more.
That is a great unusual beer. I really recommend it. Imperial.
And that's pumpkin. Whoa!
It's Southern a party. That's a party.
All right, so we didn't open champagne. What did we open up?
This was.
Right, I think we startled everybody, and Roberta's here today.
Table four.
That's a problem. That's why generally you have cages on your corks.
Right.
As soon as we remove the cage on this one, she went crazy. Now, this is a framboise. It is a all raspberry fermented Belgian beer, lambic. From the lambic region.
Okay. And one of the interesting things about lambics is that, you know, people are focused on sort of the cherry as the lambic. But you also have peach and a bunch of other lambics. So you can stay in this style of beer, the lambic. And you also have things which go from extremely sweet to extremely dry as well within this.
Let's try this one, shall we?
So it doesn't have much... I mean, with everything we've smelled today, it doesn't actually have much of a nose on it whatsoever.
Smell the sweetness. You smell that the tartness from the raspberry. Yeah.
That's what's right. And a little bit of yeast, I think, maybe.
Oh, it's so good.
Wow. And this is an extremely dry one.
Yeah.
Well. Right, as opposed to some of them, which are over-the-top sweet.
And this is only, I think, like 5%, 5.5%. Mm-hmm. Alcohol by volume. Oh, it's delicious. Well, let's try it with the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a good little match, too, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. I would think. It would.
And I got this as a Brooklyn Beer Merchants. Okay. All of these beers, just down the street from here.
This allows you to appreciate both more than anyone.
Yeah, they both retain their own sense of identity. Integrity, they don't merge. Yep. Integrity is a good...
Oh, they complement each other very well. Mm-hmm. It's almost like having a chocolate-covered cherry, you know?
Almost. Right, and it's better than a cordial, because cordial cherries tend to be overly sweet, right, and tend to be really, really strong. And
I think as a marriage, the pumpkin and this chocolate, and as two individuals operating alone without hurting each other, it's this one. That's very well said.
Right.
What he said.
Now, that pumpkin one's very interesting.
No, it is, and it highlights... I think when you look at all of this is that the range of beers is just so great in terms of flavors and styles. And the range of chocolates is also so great in terms of flavors and styles. We could do these same four beers with four entirely different chocolates and come up with... I mean, you do it with milk chocolates. I've done that before. One night I did five chocolates and 14 different beers, sort of at an open at Burp Castle, as a matter of fact. I did something and... What's wrong?
No, Burp Castle, you know, they always... tell you to be quiet there.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right. It was really quite fascinating. Fascinating to have people come up and, you know, over the course of the evening, beers would go off tap and they'd replace new ones, and all of a sudden there'd be different pairings to come through, and just seeing people had never thought that they could take these beers and make them work that way before. And you know, if you're working with chocolate and you're not having fun, I think you're doing it wrong. And if you're doing with beer, I mean, one of the great things I love about the craft beer community is the same sort of sense of fun and adventure, and we're all in it together, and just let's explore and do new cool things, and there are no boundaries and there are no rules.
If you're not having fun, then you should probably look change your career.
Go to Wall Street.
Yeah. Or make money and be miserable. That's
else.
Fine.
You
or
know,
be happy and be a food right. pirate like us.
Yeah.
Right. And to tell you the truth, I'd rather follow my chocolate life.
It's not only life, it's just pleasure and understanding that it's okay to spend $800 on a dinner. Maybe you do it once every 10 years, maybe you do it once every year, maybe you do it once every week, but one should always aspire and appreciate what comes from that. And investing in chocolates and beers, it's perfect.
Right. And one of the great things about chocolate and beers is, yes, it's understanding why it's okay to spend $100 a pound for chocolate or $2,000 a liter for balsamic vinegar. I mean, I go out and buy one bottle of AIB certified 75-year-old balsamic vinegar, you know, once every 2 years or something like that, and you know it lasts me the entire summer. And I wait for peak tomato season because it's just like it's great. Mm-hmm. But one of the great things about beer and chocolate is that they tend to be relatively inexpensive. I mean, the chocolates we had today were all under $5. I think the most expensive was like $4.50. Don't know what the beers.
The beers are about averaging around $10 a piece.
So,
the pumpkin I think is $11. The framboise $10. Right. The Zin pale ale. I don't know.
I guess we'll find out
Monday
if anything lasts until Monday. If it's all gone. But it's fabulous. For relatively not very much money, you can get together a group of friends. You can sit down, have a just slow down, enjoy, pay attention, learn about what's going on, and just have some fabulous taste experiences. And if I was doing this with a group, I would also say, all right, let's go back and taste each one of these beers with all these other chocolates, because I think that we might get some interesting...
We can do that after the show.
We can do that after the show. We would do. And today, I've been pairing chocolate and beer with Sean McCain of Bronx Brewery and Patrick Martins of Heritage Foods USA. Any closing remarks?
Come
gentlemen?
To the Blind Tiger on Sunday. That would be September 30th from 3 to 6. Join me and Chris and Damien, the other two guys from the Bronx Brewery, while we celebrate our 1 year anniversary and drink a bunch of this Zin Bronx Pale Ale.
And the launch of the Zin Bronx Pale Ale.
And we have Rye Pale Ale also on draft. And we have our regular Bronx Pale Ale, both in Firkin and also on draft as well. And the guys from Brooklyn Winery will be there with their Zinfandel. So you can taste the wine that it was aged in.
I think that's a fabulous idea. Hey,
so my message, heritagefoodsusa.com. It's go October, then Turkvember, then Ducksember. We got all the heritage breeds coming. So check out our website. And if you're not already, if you're one of the few people out there who's not yet a member of heritageradionetwork.org, it's $60. Get on the site. You get all these perks, discounts at various organizations. Become a member.
And you support just a fabulous cause, as well as the Heritage Radio Network and what it is that we're doing here with the fabulous hosts and the fabulous programs we do. I want to thank Jack Inslee for producing and engineering today's show, and thank the rest of the Heritage Foods USA and Heritage Radio Network team for their hard work building, maintaining, and growing HRN. Straight from the Source comes to you live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have questions you'd like to hear answered on future programs, call 718-497-2128. Email the show at info@heritageradionetwork.org or contact me through thechocolatelife.com. And as always, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.